you're not one of those diet nutrition people who's just got the awesome genes and they're skinny and they just like.
No, I'm a size 8.
Thank you.
I am not skinny, and I don't tell people how to be skinny. And I've struggled with this my whole life. And and I only wrote the book because I had two things happen to me in my life that made absolutely no sense, which is what caused me to do the research, which eventually led to the actual writing of the book. And that was the fact that I could gain weight without eating extra food. And that was such a huge, shameful thing for me. It was actually more about the fact that stress, that I was able to put the pieces together about stress and about needing protection and about feeling emotionally unsafe and about not knowing where I ended and other people began. All of those components of being really emotionally sensitive to the environment were things that no diet books ever talk about. Most of the time you're basically saying, I'm going to starve you, and then you're going to get skinny, and you're going to be perfect, because one day you're going to land on that scale, and that number is going to say whether or not you're lovable. When my mother died, I gained 85 pounds in less than 3 months. I didn't eat enough food to gain that much weight. It's not possible. Like, my doctor was like, are you in a closet, like, mainlining cake? it was not possible. And nothing, no diet could budge this. Not one diet. And I'm telling you, it's not about lack of willpower. I have tons of willpower. It's not the point. The point was that I was under so much emotional grief and stress. And I realize now that until I stopped dieting and just decided to love myself, it sounds simple and sounds almost trite, but that was the truth. Was, you know, I was on a spiritual path, and I realized that's what I was saying to myself and my body as well was really nasty. So the weight all came off in about a year when I stopped dieting. I ate 3 meals, 2 snacks, just took out sugar and flour. And I ate well. I ate mashed potatoes. I ate, and I like food. But mostly I realized I had to accept myself and to love me. And that was hard because I had to forgive myself for a lot of things that had happened. So I get a book deal. I start touring. The average group we spoke in front of was 6,000 or 7,000 people in the beginning. And so here I have a 110-city tour. I put on 25 pounds eating celery and tofu. So that was where I just hit bottom. I was like, I got to find out what this is. How is it possible that no matter what the heck I put in my mouth, I'm going to get fat. Like, what is that? Right? Anyhow, so I started a forensic accountant, going through everything in my life. What did I feel then? What was I doing then when I wasn't, how was I feeling about myself? What was going on? What is it that I'm feeling right now? And then I started also checking in with my clients, right? And I realized we had all this stuff in common. We all had empathy overload, which was the sense that we could feel emotional tension in a room. I'm just a spiritual writer who does readings, is an intuitive, who for the mainstream population would think I'm a little fringy. I had better get some scientific evidence to prove what this is, because otherwise, who wants to listen? So if I feel low-grade stress constantly from feeling like I have no boundaries, then what does that do? Is there a physiological aspect to that that could actually make it impossible for me to lose weight because of my sensitivity? And of course, there is truth to that, because your neuropeptides, which are your molecules of emotion, are going to have a conversation with your receptor cells and basically say, hey, she's not safe. The receptor cells goes, whoa, adrenaline has to come. Cortisol, not safe. Boom, 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 around the middle, And then cortisol makes visceral fat. Visceral fat makes more visceral fat, releases more cortisol, which is why it's very difficult for people under high stress or high emotional stress. Even just maybe your life may not have stress, but your family's stressful, or your story is stressful, and what goes on in your head, or the negative self-talk, which actually causes more cortisol. That's also fascinating. Really? I didn't know that. So I'm finding out, like, holy crap, there is something to this, and how do I fix it? So I went to this health food store, and the guy said, really, what would be good for you to calm you down, because I'm so hyper, how about taking this Himalayan salt bath? And I thought, oh, that's great. Because my mom had always said to me that whenever we were by the ocean, I would change somehow. And so I thought, oh, wow, that's cool. Okay, yeah, sure. And the bath was just super relaxing. And I just thought, okay, well, this is really interesting. But what I didn't know, which I found out later, was that Himalayan salt, the high concentration of Himalayan salt bath actually mimics amniotic fluid, because it has the chemical composition that of that safety thing, which is fascinating. So there's like a cellular memory we all have about that there was some truth to this. So I thought, okay, well, what if I start adding this in? Okay, that worked. And then I had been studying mindfulness meditation. And because I was doing readings, I really needed to understand human nature, because I was like, why is it that I could see certain people repeating the same patterns? What possesses them to do that? What is that? Because it's got nothing to do with the logical thinking mind. So I started studying Jungian psychology and the hero's journey. And, you know, I was just like, because I figured it was my job, if I was going to work with people, that I needed to be educated on how people think. The book before this was called The Map, and I had workshopped this process that I had created called the Envision Process, which was, in a nutshell, a combination of mindfulness meditation, the hero's journey as seen through the eyes of an observer, as opposed to looking at your own archetypal personalities, personas. Instead of navel gazing, we look outward. I thought, what if that person had access to the dreaming mind awake? How could I create a place of a series of questions where they could get safe from their emotional content? So bottom line is this, is that it worked. How's that? It worked. It really worked for people. And it helped not only calm them down, but give them a distance and a detached distance from their emotional content so they could sort it out without analyzing it. So it was never supposed to have anything to do with weight loss or weight release. But when I combined all these things together for myself, took out sugar flour again for about 8 weeks, and then started reading a book on brain plasticity too, because I'm a science geek, even though I'm nothing to do with science. So I'm like, oh my God, if we did this for 8 weeks, if we did this over and over again, if we do this, then we're actually creating this virtual environment that can change the way we think, the way our minds are, therefore it will change us.
The book is Weight Loss for People Who Feel Too Much, a 4-step, 8-week plan to finally lose the weight, manage emotional eating, and find your fabulous self. I've been speaking with the fabulous Colette Baron-Reed, and Colette Baron-Reed's Weight Loss for People Who Feel Too Much, published by Harmony Books, distributed in Canada by Random House.